Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. With me today, I have John Martellaro. And how are you doing, John?
Good. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Oh, listen, it's really good to be here. I'm so glad to see both of you and to hear you, John. We missed yesterday, and it's just really good to see you both.
I'd be a happy person.
You know, the best part about that, Brian, was being able to look through the glass panel in the studio and watch the hand gestures where you're pantomiming the cigarette and everything. It was great.
I was actually doing that.
Of course you were. I was looking through the studio glass and could see that. And anyhow, how about if we just hop right into HomePod? Because I have a feeling people want to know about that. So here's the deal. Apple did an announcement earlier this morning where they said, surprise, HomePod's coming. And so what they're doing is starting pre-orders this Friday. So that's Friday. That would be January, is that 26th? Yes, the 26th. And then it will deliver and be in stores 2 weeks later. So that would be Friday, February 9th. So if you want to pre-order one, well, Friday morning, that's when you're going to start doing that. If you'd rather wait to see one in person before you make a purchase, you can just go into an Apple store on the 9th. So I'm glad that Apple is following through with their promise of early 2018 after they did their last minute delay because it was supposed to ship in late 2017. I am, however, concerned that two key features are not going to be there, at least until later this year. So you cannot pair two of them up for true stereo. And since AirPlay 2 is not available, you cannot do multi-room streaming. So if either of those were key features that you needed to have on launch day, you're going to be disappointed. Apple has
all right, so let me get this straight.
Okay.
Let me get this straight.
Apple, pardon me while I yawn.
Makes the mistake of targeting Sonos rather than, say, the Alexa, Google Home market. And is failing to deliver on shipment two key features that have made Sonos popular. Mm-hmm. Am I getting this right?
Yep. Yes, you're getting this right. So two key features that Apple needs to compete in the space that they have made it clear they want to compete in, they do not have.
So I'll be up at 6 a.m. on the 9th and waiting in line at the Apple store. I'll probably be the only one there.
Yeah, I'm going to get one. Like all this attitude I've got, all this snarkiness and complaints and whinging and complaining about how Apple is missing the boat with this thing. I'm getting one.
I'm not. It doesn't solve a problem I have, and I don't see a reason why I should.
That's because you're comfortable with putting your bags down and reaching into your pocket and getting your phone and speaking into it if you want to control anything in your smart home.
Like an animal.
Like an animal.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually at the point, and have been for a while, where if I am going to do a voice command, I turn to my Echo first, figuratively speaking, because I don't have to turn. It just hears me in the air. And then fall back to Siri if I have to. Because I don't have to actually pick anything up. I don't have to tap any buttons. I just need to start talking and stuff happens. I don't even have to think about where I am. I could walk down the hall and bark out a command to the L lady and it's just going to happen. So, yeah.
You guys have a Dr. Mobius syndrome. Much as I love that movie, Forbidden Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Morbius talks to his highly computerized house and his robot, Robbie. and the Star Trek metaphor and talking to a ship's computer. Mm-hmm. It's awesome, but I am not ready to jump in yet.
Well, you may be
such a weirdo, man.
Yeah. You may be reticent to jump in, but some of us, we had a running head start because we wanted to dive in all the way. And in my case, I wanted to dive in all the way for two reasons. First, I want to be able to really understand this technology so that I can help our readers and listeners. And then second, the whole thing of needing to add extra steps, like turn a wrist, tap a thing, pick up a phone, press a button, any of that stuff that I have to do to engage the voice part takes away from what the system ought to be.
Well, you know what colors my attitude is? the lack of intuition on the part of Siri. I have had Siri fail on me so many times trying to do a remote phone call. I will say something like, you know, I'll talk to my watch fails, pick up my phone, say, Siri, call my wife, mm-hmm. and put a name in, and it misunderstands me, and then it lists the different numbers she has and can never pick the right one. And it seems like every time I talk to Siri, it lacks some essential element of intuition about what it is I'm fundamentally trying to get to. And it's just obtuse in so many cases that I'm, you know, when I can talk to Siri like Dave could talk to HAL 9000, then I'm all in. When I feel like there's an intelligent presence on the other side who really knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure that HAL is really the goal you want to shoot for.
Well, that's used aside from the dramatic effects and the things that went wrong with HAL. That's used in technical circles as a sort of.
And to be fair, HAL had some understanding issues too. There were many times when HAL said things like, "I can't do that, Dave."
Well, that was not because he didn't understand what Dave wanted.
That's true. That's true.
Because he wasn't going to do it for personal reasons.
That I accept that correction.
All right. So I think we've established we're all frustrated with the voice control systems, which, John, I totally get why that plays a role in your
Now, I'm willing to be,
but your inclination to not dive into this yet.
I'm willing to be convinced. I mean, you know, it's $350 and it's not fully baked. So if sometime in June of 2018 and we've got a history with it and I've seen it demoed and you guys have talked about it and written about it and Brian, you own one, and I see the handwriting on the wall and I go, wow, I need one of these.
John,
I'm happy to spend the $350, but right now I'm not going to jump all in.
John's statement clears up a lot for me as to why he's been such a you know, apologist for Apple on and it's not wanting to bother to jump in because you're dissatisfied with the experiences that you're already having makes a lot of sense to me.
You know, it also has me wondering how many other people are feeling the same way. And how many people are looking at Apple's HomePod announcement today and have gone from, I'm really interested in getting one on launch day to, you know what? I'm okay waiting because it doesn't even have all the features that were promised.
Jeff, you stole my line.
Well, okay. Let me counter that with how many people were really clamoring for those missing features as it were. Like I said, I think everybody's focus on the smart home side, not the audio side. So, I mean, if that thesis is right, the lack of those features won't have a material impact on rollout.
I think what'll happen is that the media will amplify what's missing, and people will go, "Well, Apple is screwed up. It's not fully baked. They've had a year get this thing out the door and it doesn't have the things that were originally promised. So I'm going to sit and wait because $350 is pretty expensive outlay for something you don't fully understand, don't feel like you can exploit and is missing some key features."
You know, John, I'm with you on this one. Brian, what I think is likely to happen, even though those features may not be critical to a lot of people, because yes, we're thinking about the whole smart home voice control side of this, just the psychological thing that goes along with it's coming out, but it doesn't have all the features. Even though those aren't features they may want today, just knowing they're not there may be enough to...
Because the specter of an upgrade comes along. You go, okay, now what do I have to do to enable this? I have to do a firmware upgrade.
I don't even think it goes that far, John. For some people, of course it does. But I think for a lot of people, it's, oh, they're shipping a product and it doesn't even have all the features.
Mm-hmm. No one's gonna notice that, man. No one's paying attention to things like that. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to be paying attention to it because people love having their heroes knocked off pedestals, and the media, just as generally speaking, enjoys that too, because it makes for good ratings. So I expect that over the next few days, we'll be seeing on mainstream television news and in other publications, articles about how Apple has already blown it. They can't even get a fully baked product out the door.
Right.
And that's what's going to stick in people's head. Not
exactly.
Not which features they are, and that they're features that a lot of people don't even care about, potentially. Just, oh, they didn't even get the thing finished yet.
I'm right there with you, Jeff. Yeah.
I think it's going to create a big psychological barrier.
We'll see this in the next few days.
Yes, we will, because
Apple will definitely not announce sales. You know they're not going to announce sales.
No, of course not. That's not how they roll. Yep. So, all right. So we'll be watching, of course, on Friday to see what happens with pre-orders. And then when we actually have shipping products, which will be on February 9th, of course, we'll be watching to see what happens. Are people rushing into stores to get them? Are they even available?
There's another factor we haven't talked about, and that's all those millions of people who went out at Christmas time and joyfully bought an Echo of some kind and say, well, my wife gave me an Echo this or an Echo that at Christmas time, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. Why do I need a HomePod too?
You know, I think that's a very big factor that needs to be taken into account. So thank you for bringing it up. What I did this year when Amazon was doing their Black Friday deals and they dropped the price on the second gen Echo, I bought one to replace one of my Echo Dots. And so it sits in the living room now, and I don't even have additional speakers hooked up to it. But when I tell it to stream music, even though it's a small little thing with limited speaker capability and it's not stereo, people comment on how much they like the sound. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot of people that went ahead and just decided to jump into the Echo market and the Google Home market as well. And they won't see a need to shell out $350 when, for Christmas, they got this $80 little canister that sits on the counter and does everything they want.
There's a social difference between being an audiophile and being a casual listener. I mean, if you got somebody over for dinner and you're sitting around the coffee table having dessert and you want to listen to some soft jazz, a little bit of general background music coming out of an Echo is all you need. This is in contrast to somebody who's got, you know, a home audiophile setup where everything's got to be, you know, awesome and big speakers, and they've got to have certain stereo separation, and they test the acoustics with a microphone, you know, and they sit back in their easy chair. You know, that's a different mentality altogether, and that's why I think the sound from the Echo works for most occasions. You're baking cookies in the kitchen, and you want to have a little bit of soft music. You don't care about the decibel rating or the degree of distortion in the sound or the stereo separation. You don't care.
Which brings us to the Sonos market, which HomePod is supposed to compete with, but doesn't have all the features right out the gate to do so.
Well, okay, hold on. So Sonos market does brisk business. There are people that care about music. Yes. But to this broader point, there, you know, how many just crappy, awful Bluetooth speakers have we encountered in our writing careers?
More than we can shake a stick at.
Right. You know, and just those things just sell, you know, like hotcakes out there.
They do. And it's because they're convenient.
Yeah. And because most people don't care about quality music. There are people that do. Sonos is a $1 billion business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's, you know, almost real money for Apple, sort of, not really. But the number of people who don't care about the quality of their sound vastly exceeds those who do. Vastly exceeds.
And I don't think it's because they don't care because they're not studied in acoustics, and it's not because they're just bad people. It's because the setting in which they're in the social occasion and the need of the moment doesn't require it. And so,
no, I would say that most people wouldn't know good sound if it hit them in the face.
I have to agree with you on that, Brian. Most people have no idea what good sound is.
This still doesn't make them bad people, though. I mean, like, you don't. I mean, you don't have to care about. I mean, you know, we're all pedants about. Well, not all, many of us are pedants about something. Sam being a pedant, even describing this. But I mean, like, there's something that we care about, and there's, you know, something that we know about and that we care about and that we have an interest in. And so, you know, we want that thing to be better than what many other people might care about. But, for sound, most people just don't care.
Yes, I agree.
Until you go into a audiophile store, like we have in Denver, like, what's it called? Cherry Creek Audio. I don't know if they're still in business.
Yeah, people go into those stores and they enjoy what they hear, and they're like, "That's so awesome," yeah. And they're still totally fine with the crappy Bluetooth speaker.
Well, listen again. Sonos does $1 billion a year. It's not that no one cares about this stuff, right? And it's conceivable that by putting out a good quality audio product that Apple could, you know, substantially grow that market and that there, you know, and introduce more people to the idea of something that sounds good. And if people are listening to an Echo side by side to a HomePod, they're probably going to say, well, yeah, the HomePod sounds better.
I wonder how many people will have both.
But they just won't care in the first place to go seek that out.
Yeah, probably not. And I think the price differential is enough that for a lot of people, the Echo becomes much more palatable because we're talking about something that's under $100 versus something that's $350.
Well, you know, but you got to remember, Apple's never catered to the, you know, the low end. Apple.
Oh, that's true.
Obviously made a living building the best and catering to people who appreciate finely crafted products. And so you would expect that the HomePod would appeal to all the traditional buyers of MacBooks and iPhone X and people who want a really great sound experience and appreciate it. And there'll be articles where people will extol the virtues of it. And there'll be articles where people will say, well, I've got an Echo. It works just fine. I don't need to spend money on a HomePod. So we'll see the whole gamut, and people will remind us that Apple builds really good stuff. And I'm sure we will remind the readers too.
Well, my plan is to pit my HomePod against my second-gen Echo.
Sounds like a Stephen Wright joke.
I'm sure there's a Stephen Wright joke in there somewhere. There's a Stephen Wright joke in everything. Also, dad jokes and everything. I'm going to put them head-to-head and see how they perform for me. And of course, I'll be letting everyone know. So,
well, maybe you'll convince me. Maybe when they do the updates.
Yeah, you know, it's possible. My objective is not to convince anyone, but simply to give everyone more information about how HomePod stacks up. So we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. But we've already answered the one question that I was going to ask at the end, which is, who's going to get one? John, you're waiting to see.
I'm waiting. I want to see how it pans out.
It doesn't pan at first because no stereo support.
I know.
Yeah. And Brian, you are getting one.
Yes.
And so this will be the first time you have openly embraced a voice control system in your home, because the Echo that happens to be in your place, you have a very dysfunctional relationship with. You don't like it.
I say rude things to it all the time.
Yeah, and so when the robot uprising happens, they're going to remember that.
Oh, they're going to come for me.
Yeah.
Alexa has me marked. Somewhere on an Amazon profile is a check mark that says kill this one first.
Yeah. And I will miss you. I actually say please to mine.
Yeah.
And people look at me.
You're smarter than me.
Yeah. So, all right. So yes, we know I'll be getting one too, because I want to compare mine to my second gen Echo and see how both of them handle my smart home needs. So, we'll definitely be looping back to more HomePod stuff sooner as opposed to later. And, listeners, I'm curious, are you interested in getting a HomePod, and are you going to get one? Also, when? Let me know. You can shoot me emails, observations@macobserver.com. You can send me messages on Twitter. That would be @TMODaily. And of course, you can leave comments in the show notes. I'll be looking all those places to see what you have to say. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, it was great. I loved it.
It's always loads of fun. And listeners, I'm so glad you joined us again. Thanks for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.